A species in which everyone was General Patton would not succeed, any more than would a race in which everyone was Vincent van Gogh. I prefer to think that the planet needs athletes, philosophers, sex symbols, painters, scientists. It needs the warm-hearted, the hard-hearted, the cold-hearted, and the weak-hearted. It needs those who can devote their lives to studying how many droplets of water are secreted by the salivary glands of dogs under which circumstances. And it needs those who can capture the passing impression of cherry blossoms in a 14-syllable poem, or devote 25 pages to the dissection of a small boy's feelings as he lies in bed in the dark, waiting for his mother to kiss him goodnight. Indeed, the presence of outstanding strengths presupposes that energy needed in other areas has been channeled away from them. Alan Shawn. Introduction. The North and South of Temperament. Montgomery, Alabama, December 1, 1955. Early evening. A public bus pulls to a stop, and a sensibly dressed woman in her 40s gets on. She carries herself erectly, despite having spent the day bent over an ironing board in a dingy basement tailor shop at the Montgomery Fair department store. Her feet are swollen. Her shoulders ache. She sits in the first row of the colored section and watches quietly as the bus fills with riders, until the driver orders her to give her seat to a white passenger. The woman utters a single word that ignites one of the most important civil rights protests of the 20th century, one word that helps America find its better self. The word is no. The driver threatens to have her arrested. "You may do that," says Rosa Parks. A police officer arrives. He asks Parks why she won't move. "Why do you all push us around?" She answers simply. "I don't know," he says, "but the law is the law, and you're under arrest." On the afternoon of her trial and conviction for disorderly conduct, the Montgomery Improvement Association holds a rally for Parks at the Holt Street Baptist Church in the poorest section of town. 5,000 gather to support Parks's lonely act of courage. They squeeze inside the church until its pews can hold no more. The rest wait patiently outside, listening through loudspeakers. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. addresses the crowd. "There comes a time that people get tired of being trampled over by the iron feet of oppression," he tells them. "There comes a time when people get tired of being pushed out of the glittering sunlight of life's July and left standing amidst the piercing chill of an alpine November." He praises Parks's bravery and hugs her. She stands silently, her mere presence enough to galvanize the crowd. The association launches a citywide bus boycott that lasts 381 days. The people trudge miles to work. They carpool with strangers. They change the course of American history. I had always imagined Rosa Parks as a stately woman with a bold temperament, someone who could easily stand up to a busload of glowering passengers. But when she died in 2005 at the age of 92, the flood of obituaries recalled her as soft-spoken, sweet, and small in stature. They said she was timid and shy, but had the courage of a lion. They were full of phrases like radical humility and quiet fortitude. What does it mean to be quiet and have fortitude? These descriptions asked implicitly. How could you be shy and courageous? Parks herself seemed aware of this paradox, calling her autobiography Quiet Strength, a title that challenges us to question our assumptions. Why shouldn't quiet be strong? And what else can quiet do that we don't give it credit for? Our lives are shaped as profoundly by personality as by gender or race. And the single most important aspect of personality, the north and south of temperament, as one scientist puts it, is where we fall on the introvert-extrovert spectrum.